You're listening to audio from Grace Community Church in Anger, North Carolina. More information about Grace Community Church can be found at graceccnc.org.
Well, welcome again to Grace Community Church. So glad that you're here this morning. You're here on a special today, or a special day. It is a special today. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. You may not have grown up in a church where you celebrate Advent, and we don't celebrate it as formally, maybe as some more liturgically minded churches, but we do remember Jesus coming to the earth. Advent is not always on the first Sunday after Thanksgiving, but this year it is. Advent means coming or the arrival. We celebrate Advent as a church to remember the first coming of Jesus Christ, as David was talking about a while ago, but also to anticipate his second coming. The primary focus this morning is the hope that we have in Jesus' return. We've been thinking about it for a year and a half, thinking about the eschaton, or the time when Jesus comes back to the earth to gather his people and judge his enemies. Remember, when we talk about hope, hope in the New Testament is the certainty of eternal life in and through Jesus Christ. It's not, I hope it doesn't rain next week at the picnic. It's, I have a sure and steady hope, consistent, absolutely certain hope that Jesus Christ is coming for me and I will be with him for eternity. In keeping with our tradition on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, we're going to take 15 to 20 minutes of our service for testimonies. As this is also the first Sunday of Advent, perhaps our testimonies can be focused on Jesus and our waiting for his second advent, his return in glory to gather his people to himself. I want us to quiet our hearts with a call to worship. Then it's going to get very noisy right after that. But we're going to quiet our hearts with a call to worship from Isaiah 25:9. It's already been read this morning. Let's read it again. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Before we read today's text, which is Luke 12, 22 to 40, I'm going to ask anyone who is willing from the fifth grade down to come on up to the platform for a children's sermon. Since it's this age, we might say, come on up to the stage, you guys, come on up. Because I have some questions to ask you, and I bet you have some answers. All right, hello. All right, first of all, what was Thanksgiving dinner like? What'd you have?
We had mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, the traditional Thanksgiving grate. Dirt cake. Just tell me. Chocolate pie, I love it. Turkey.
Macaroni and cheese.
Cornbread. Ham, all right. What did you get? One more. Apple pie. I love it. Apple pie on Thanksgiving.
I had pie for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we all had pie for Thanksgiving, didn't we? Of some sort.
We had mashed potatoes.
And mashed potatoes, you got to have mashed potatoes. Okay, that's the end of the children, sir. Just kidding. All right, just kidding. I have some important questions, so let's keep moving. What gifts did you get for Thanksgiving? Wait a minute. Do I have my holidays mixed up?
Yeah.
When do you get gifts? Your birthday.
Yeah.
And what? Christmas. All right, Christmas. Why do we give gifts for Christmas, do you think? It is Jesus' birthday and a holiday. And so did somebody give Jesus gifts? You remember?
Yeah.
Who was it?
God,
the wise men. But Jesus was a gift, wasn't he? And that's the right answer. Who gave Jesus to us? God. God gave Jesus. And it's the best gift anybody could ever have. So where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem,
yes. It was where else though? Where in Bethlehem was he born?
In a barn.
In a barn, maybe in a cave, but it was not a good place. Was Jesus a king?
Yes.
Is he the king?
Yes.
Like king of kings?
Yes.
So why was he born in a barn? No, that's right. They didn't have a place where they could stay, so they had to do it. So that's not a usual place for a king to be born. So what kind of life did Jesus live? Do you think, you know, he had brothers and sisters. Do you think he fought with them?
No.
Why not? He's Jesus, and what does that mean? He was perfect. Anybody here perfect? Ah. Yeah, so are your parents, huh? Yes, we all like to think we're perfect, don't we? But we're not perfect, are we?
Yeah.
Because we do wrong things, and what is that called?
Sin.
Whenever we disobey, whenever we tell a lie, whenever we are mean. I'm telling you, Christmas trees look all kinds of beautiful this time of year, don't they? So if Jesus lived a perfect life, you know, everybody has to die at some point. We don't like to think about that. But do you know who dies? Sinners die. Because we have to die because of our sin. When we've all sinned. But Jesus didn't sin. So did he have to die?
No.
But he did die, right? Why? Why did he die? He died in our place, right? It's just like you getting in really bad trouble with your parents and your brother or sister says, I'm going to take her punishment or I'm going to take his punishment. You would love that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. Would any of you take the punishment for your sister or your brother?
Yeah.
You would? Okay. Some of you would. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He took our punishment so that we could live with him forever. And he came one time, but after he died, what did he do 3 days later?
He came back.
He came back. He rose from the dead, right? And he went back to heaven. And do you think he's coming again?
No.
He is. He is coming again. A lot of people think that. A lot of people think, no, he's not coming again. But he is coming again. That's right. He's coming again. And so we should be ready for him, right?
Yes.
So what happens when your parents go out to dinner and your favorite sitter is at the house and your parents say, okay, now you can play in the living room, but it better be clean before we get back. Do you keep it clean the whole time or do you play and then get it cleaned up just before they get back, right? Yeah? You don't play at all. All right, well, so you just stay. You don't want to be in trouble with the appearance. You can just keep it clean all the time. But if it gets dirty, when do you clean it up? Do you clean as you go, or do you wait till your sitter says, hey, your parents are almost home? Then you get really working, cleaning up. There you go. But now some people get the house really messy, right? And then they try to clean up at the very last minute.
But when my mom and dad leave, they take me there.
Oh, they take you with them. All right. They know what kind of a cleaner you are, and they say it's safest just to go. Ward, you go to go with your parents. That's great. So if your parents come home and the house is not clean, what happens? You get in trouble, don't you? And you really wish that you had cleaned up. Let me ask you this. Are you glad that your parents come home? Yeah. Or do you just wish they would stay away so that you could play and that everything be dirty all the time?
Yeah, come just back in like 30 minutes in the house.
That's a great plan, Andy. I love that plan. We want you here. We just don't want you here for the next 30 minutes. Go out. We'll tell you when you can come back. So Jesus is going to come back. You think we should be ready for him?
Yes.
Yes. Do you think it'd be a good thing if we are fighting with our brother or sister when he comes back?
No.
Or disobeying our parents?
No.
Or not doing our homework?
No.
No, of course not. Easier said than done, though, right? Well, let's be excited and live as though Jesus could come at any time, because he could. Wouldn't that be something if he would come back before the service was over? He's already here, but he's going to come, and we'll be able to see him one day. Yes, he is. He is, but one day he's going to be visible. And we're going to see him. And at that point, we're going to be so glad he's here. But we might be wishing we had lived a little differently. So let's be ready for Jesus. He's the greatest gift of all, right? So this year, you can tell your parents, I don't need any gifts. I already have Jesus. Is that a good idea?
Yes.
Okay, no, we won't do that. All right, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you guys for coming up and participating. The reading of today's text is going to take up most of the allotted time for the sermon portion of the service. Almost, not quite. Luke 12, verses 22 through 40, records Jesus' instructions to his disciples, encouraging them not to allow possessions to distract them from serving him and anticipating his return. The disciples didn't know what his return was all about at this particular point. They're like, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. Maybe you're going to go away for a few days and leave us, and we better be ready when you come back. But they didn't know that he was going to die, be resurrected, ascended to heaven, and then come back for all of his children one day. But the words that Jesus shared with them both comforted and challenged them. And they are both a comfort and a warning to us today. So I'm going to ask you to remain seated for the first portion of our reading. Then I will ask you to stand for the last portion of the passage. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, and do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Good thing to be reading this after Thanksgiving than before Thanksgiving, I suppose. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now I'd like to ask you to stand, if you would, for the reading of the remainder of our text. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left the house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks, and be seated. So just a few thoughts about these verses, 35 through 40, before we take time for testimonies. To be dressed for action was to be dressed to serve. The servants of that day would wear these long, heavy robes, and they'd take the robes, they'd gather the robes in and tie them up around their waist so that they could move freely. It was the posture and the dress of a servant. Servants were expected to be ready whenever the master arrived at home, the second and third watches in the middle of the night. And whenever the master knocked on the door, and believe you me, they knew what their master's knock was like. You know, don't you, when you're in a crowd and you hear a cough or a movement, you know that it's your spouse, you know it's your child, your parent, without even looking, and you weren't even expecting them to be there. But it's like, oh. So they knew when the master would knock who it was, and they would open the door and tend to his personal needs, bringing food to him. But look at what Jesus says. He's the master, we are the servants. God, or Jesus, almost always the active agent in the parables. That will help you understand the parables better if you get that in your head. The Good Samaritan, it's not, yes, we should be a Good Samaritan, but Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's the foreigner. He's the one that the people rejected. So Jesus is the master in this home. And he knocks, we're the servants. He says, I will come in and dine with them, with the servants who open the door. Does this remind you of Revelation 3:20 at Laodicea, the church at Laodicea? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who opens to me, I will come in and have dinner with him and he with me. That's scandalous. I mean, absolutely, a nobleman, a landowner would never come and sit down with the slaves. If he did, it would be downstairs, you know, in Downton Abbey, down in the basement. They'd be like, you'd hide away from everybody. But Jesus is saying, let's sit down at table and eat together. But he went further than that. He said, then I will dress for service. and I'll serve you. That's washing the disciples' feet, isn't it? At the Last Supper. This is gospel truth. We cannot save ourselves, but Jesus has saved us by serving us. He lived that perfect life we were talking about and died the sacrificial death in our place. Our part is to repent of our sins, to acknowledge our sins and ask for forgiveness, and to believe that Jesus died for us. And even then, he gives us the faith to believe. It's a beautiful image to think about Jesus serving us at a meal. He's pointing to that great wedding feast that we're going to get to in Revelation 19, I think it is. This meal also reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. So when you think about the Lord's table today, don't think about taking communion. Think about being served communion. Jesus is serving us even as we remember his death until he returns. So why would we not want to serve Jesus? Maybe because we would rather serve ourselves. But we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Jesus, and it's our job to be ready when he comes for us. So again, second, third watches of the night. There's a Roman system and a Jewish system, but either way, it's smack in the middle of the night. It could be anywhere from after midnight till 6 in the morning that Jesus is coming when you would not expect it, and you better be ready. The servants, though, at that hour of the day and night might be tired and overly relaxed. You see the picture and get the point. How can we make sure that we're ready? Well, three brief points of application, beginning with, surprise, surprise, preach the gospel to yourself every day. Everywhere in Scripture, we're reminded of the gospel. It's not us doing for him, it's him doing for us. Then we do for him. Out of deep love and appreciation and gratitude, we give of ourselves to the Lord. Keep short accounts with God. Look, it's not that you just want to be caught doing a good thing when Jesus returns. You want to have sin confessed. When you sin, confess it quickly. You're not going to be perfect. Give up that idea of a perfect life. And sometimes trying to be perfect puts you in worse shape than it did. Acknowledge who you are. You're a sinner saved by grace. And it's your privilege to serve this one who forgives you readily and freely. Let the knowledge of Jesus' service for you motivate you to live for him. Second, this is important. Remember who is the master and who is the servant. My goodness. We, and baby do I mean me when I say we, or I when I say we are an entitled people. You think about the things that you've complained about this past week. I could fill up pages just about the things that I've... You've known people, right? I knew one, handful of you knew Rupert Weathers, Allison's dad, John Cotton in Australia, apparently the same way. Never said a negative word about anybody. And if you try to say a negative word... maybe they're having a bad day. You know, you just never know what's going on. That is quite an accomplishment. I mean, Gary Stevens is pretty close to that list too, but we are so into everything is cause for complaining and griping if we're not careful. We're servants. We don't get to do that. Another place, Jesus said, when the master comes in and the servant takes care of him, and these were slaves, by the way, that's what we are, slaves to Jesus, for Jesus. But we don't act like it, do we? But when the slave comes in, prepares his meal, takes care of him, does he expect thanks? No, he says, I'm an unworthy servant. I've done what was expected of me. But we want everybody else to do what we expect of them. Remember who the master is and who the servant is. Remember the context, the greater context of this teaching. It's attachment to possessions. The more we possess, the more tempting it is to assume that we deserve what we have. And that it's okay to live as we please because, well, everything's worked out so far. And since I'm a spiritual man, it must be because I'm helping God out so much. I mean, we know better, but last, while you are waiting for Jesus' return, make it a spiritual discipline to serve him rather than yourself. Look, when we're caught up in a temptation to sin, whether it be to spend extravagantly, gossip freely, worry obsessively, lust easily, or dilly-dally excessively, it's difficult to remember that Jesus might return at any moment. It's why we need to make it a spiritual discipline to anticipate Jesus' return, and why we need to remind one another frequently, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is coming back. Not so that we can point fingers and judge and say, you better be careful about that. Jesus is coming, you know. No, we just need to be helping each other to be prepared for his coming. The Christian life is not an easy life, but it is significantly less difficult in community. We're often called in the New Testament to exhort one another daily. While testimonies might be more encouragement than exhortation, it's time to hear from the community. So, let's take time for testimonies. We have two excessively handsome young men who are going to come and have the microphones for you to share what the Lord has done for you. And in this time, let's talk about who Jesus means to us, how he has ministered to us this year, just the ways the Lord's goodness has overwhelmed us. And when we share with others, look, I've heard things at testimonies that I know impacted people far more than anything I had said that morning. You have no idea how your testimony will impact people. It's probably the closest thing we come to 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about no more than three prophets. We're going to have more than three prophets, so I think it's okay. Speak, but those prophets were giving words of encouragement, not words of rebuke and challenge. They were given words of encouragement, though they didn't have microphones, so they weren't doing this, I don't suppose. But if you would like to share, we'd love to hear how the Lord has been working in your life. And since first is difficult, who would be second?
Oh, I have
if you
to
would,
stand.
Yes. And I'll wait till after you finish and I'll tell you.
Everybody else can sit down. No. Wow. Okay. So I wasn't going to speak this morning, but then I just felt my heart pounding. I was like, I have to share. But first thing is that Jesus is just amazing, and I am thankful for salvation and what he did for us, and every day we can go to him. And especially this year, I think just his outpouring of, which is always there, but his grace and mercy. I feel like this year, or the last few years have kind of been, and if you've walked with the Lord, I guess maybe a day, year, week, decade, there's sometimes those areas of our lives that seem just kind of like quiet zones, or we don't really know what's going on, or it seems a little, I don't want to say wilderness, I hate to say that, because I feel like you're just growing so much in those areas, you just don't recognize it. And I feel like the last few years, it's really been like that for me. And this year, I finally just settled down. And I was like, okay, Lord, like, it's just, I'm like listening, you know? And it's not that I was trying to be like all over about it. I was just wondering. And in God's grace, he was just so sweet and so loving and so caring to open my eyes to things I had never seen. That it was always him. And I think in those moments, he just calls us, you know, so gently and just is like, hey, it's me and you. Like, I want to be with you. I want to hear from you, and I want you to hear from me. And so I just want to encourage anybody who's just been maybe in those quiet zones, and maybe it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, it might be 5 years, it might be 10 years. You know, you might have found that there was somewhere on that road where you just kind of fell to the side, or maybe something went off and you don't know. Come back to him, because he has something amazing to show you. And I found in that area, just being with Jesus and being in his, sorry, I should have said with, in word and prayer, being with him in those moments, it was just like things that I had maybe dealt with or asked about for years, he was so quick to show me and show me in so much beauty. And I just, you know, want to encourage everybody, I hope that you'll do that. Instead of running the opposite direction, just keep going. And eventually, you know, that area opens up. We went to the Grand Canyon this year, and it's a lot of desert. And if you've ever been there, we went to Horseshoe Bend, and it's all desert. And I looked out, and y'all, there's this beautiful plant with beautiful purple flowers. I thought, that's just like Jesus, right? Like right when we think it's dry and it's arid and it's a desert, there's something super beautiful in it. So I don't know. I hope I encourage you guys all.
That is encouraging.
Everybody else can sit after this.
I didn't want to, when you first started, I said, well, I'll do it afterwards, just to let you know that there may be as many as 8 billion people who will hear your testimony today. It's like, okay, good, good. Thank you, Jackie. I think we all know that dry spot. And that is not an indication that you're going backwards. If you're doing the things that you're supposed to do, you're moving forward, even though it may feel like you're marking time. It's a good word. And then when he shows you how beautiful that is. Someone else.
Okay. Whoa. So every single year, I have had a word of the year to kind of describe, like, faith and life, and this year I chose the word go for 2024. So a few things that went with that. I graduated high school. I went to college at Campbell University. I am from Dallas, so that was a huge jump for me. I went on a mission trip to Guatemala for a week, and that was incredible. I watched my brother go get married to his best friend, and so that was really cool. But then I had to watch my grandmother pass away, and I could not come home for her funeral because logistics, all of that. I watched my brother leave our house and never come home, never wanting to speak to us again. So after all of that, like, there's a lot of things that came and went and a lot of challenges that I had to do and had to process. I went to therapy for the first time. That was exciting. but that was my word, because a lot of things came and went, and a lot of things that were challenging me geographically went as I moved, like, to another state, knowing, like, literally nobody. But it was quite a year. Lots of highs, lots of lows, but I am excited for 2025, because I think there's some really good things that goes. So thank y'all.
Dallas to Buies Creek. Remind me your name. Abigail, that's right. Abigail asked some very good questions about Revelation. Very hard questions. So if you see her making a way for me, just kind of stand in between. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Be happy to answer those questions. That's a reality a lot of families are facing now. I don't talk about it much from the pulpit, but it's really difficult when so many young people are choosing to walk away from their families. That's hard. That's painful. Pray for Abigail's family.
Hi, my name's Oliver. So I'm a senior, like, in high school, and I'm going into the real world soon, and it's tough. Like, I'm a little scared, like, by what job I'm going to get, what college I'm going to go to, what girl I'll find, right, and all these things. And then God just, like, he kind of tells you, like, just give all that worry, give all that fear to me, and you just do what I tell you to do, right? And that's one of the biggest things that actually led me to Christ, by, like, just realizing he's got it. Now, that doesn't mean I can, like, sit back and do what I want. But, you know, but he's good. He's merciful, and he's just. So, yeah.
Amen. Good word. We know your parents. You're already in the real world, Oliver.
But, yeah, I'm just grateful for this church family. And in the past year, I just couldn't not say thank you to God for just my health. On December 23rd last year, I found out after a surgery that I had that I thought was kind of optional that the Lord had allowed cancer that I didn't know was there to be removed from my body, which was amazing. It was completely removed, and I do have to have scans every 3 months now, and all of those have come back clean, so I'm very thankful for that. Thankful for the Lord's hand and how he prompted me and taking and having a pretty, you know, serious surgery that really needed to happen, and so I'm thankful for that, all the ways that he answered prayer. I'm thankful for all of you in this church who some have been my family for 24 years and others less, but significant nonetheless. Thank you for celebrating me and being encouraging and supporting as I made a tough decision to retire from my ministry position here. And I'm just very thankful for all of you for walking me through that and encouraging me. And I love all of you, and I'm blessed to still be here to be a part of everyone's lives. And so it's just, it's huge to me. So I'm very thankful to the Lord for this church family that is indeed our family. And we love all of you, and thank you for your support and love.
Thank you, Keisha. We did a surprise celebration for her on an afternoon. I know so many of you have been blessed. I would ask how many have received a meal from Keisha at some point, but that would be quite a few in here. She has served us in so many ways. We're so grateful for you and Scott and Grace and Landon and Caitlin.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to brag on my wife for a minute. Vicki is an answer to prayer, and if you don't believe in the power of prayer, I will tell you without a doubt that when you pray, God hears you. I live with a person every day who inspires me, who makes me grateful for an answer to prayer, who encourages me to be a better person, to be a better Christian when I can't find it within myself. So I would encourage the men of Grace to always be thankful for their wives because they are family. They lead the family in ways we can't. They make family family. And thankful for this church and Pastor Brad. I was talking to Pastor Brad last week, and I said, you know, I realize how unworthy I am more and more by listening to the word and the letters in red. I'm very thankful to have become a part of this parish, and just wish everybody a happy new year.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good, really beautiful word from Charlie. Alice and I were listening to a little clip yesterday about Gary Thomas is doing about relationships, husband-wife relationships, and he's talking about the word cherish, and he said if you ask a wife how she feels cherished, get a cup of coffee, tea, sit down, it's going to be an hour, and you know, and you ask the guys, and they're like, am I supposed to feel cherished? Is that part of this deal? And he was just talking about ways that we can encourage one another. But that's a great word, that we make each other, everybody, you make the other people in your house better people. That's what you should strive for. And that's what you look for, younger ones, teenagers, Oliver, when you're looking for that woman that you're going to find or the one that's going to find you, make sure that she makes you a better person and you make her a better person. That's key. So that's something we can all accept the challenge. We can hear one more testimony before, Calder's got it, for communion.
Hey, good morning, Grace. My name's Jim Taylor, and I just, this is beginning my fifth year, my family's and I's fifth year here at Grace, and we have seen so many of you guys just invest in our family, and I wanted to echo what Brad said about Keisha. She has, I don't know where she went, but she invested in my children, and I have seen just, all of the love that she has shown to them, and just especially grateful for that. But I am just so thankful for our church and all of the blessings that you guys are to us. You know, in Psalms it says to delight ourselves in the Lord, and He'll give us the desires of our heart, and He's certainly given us that here at Grace, and just wanted to thank you as we celebrate this Advent season.
Amen. And what a great way to begin the Advent season by having this family meal together. You know, I look forward to Thanksgiving dinner all year long. I love all the food that is served in the South at Thanksgiving, and then of course new dishes have been brought in as the family expanded. But this meal is more important even than that meal. The meal that we shared this past week on Thursday was temporary. This points to something eternal. It points to a day when there's nobody in the family walking away. There's not a crossword said. Everyone is making everyone else better. And it's all because of Jesus. I'm going to ask those who are serving at the Lord's table and those who are on the worship team, if you would, to come forward. I'll just mention a few things. We will be receiving the elements from the front. There will be stations in front of each section. You'll come down the interior aisles. You'll go back up the center aisle and the outer aisles. There'll be ushers to help you with that. Also, the bread is gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about that. If you have an allergy to gluten, you can partake. We'd be delighted if all believers, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then we invite you to join this meal, whether you're a member of our church or not. Join us in this meal. It is a meal for believers. If you have said, you know, I just don't buy all that stuff, you don't have to partake. We encourage you not to partake. You can just come forward and walk by the elements without receiving, or just stay in your seat, either one. And we will appreciate that honesty. It's not anybody's going to be looking at you thinking bad of you. every single one of us had to come to the place where we said, I believe in Jesus. And just in case you're trying to make sense of it and to reason your way, you're never going to reason your way to faith. Faith is very reasonable. What Jesus did for us on the cross, it makes so much sense after you believe. But you have to believe. God is not going to prove anything to you so that you will believe. But when you believe, it all opens up. What is it that opens up? The reality that we've got a sin problem with God. Our sin separates us from God. And something had to be done about our sin, and we couldn't do anything about it. Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, came to this earth. He became 100% man, came to this earth, lived that life that we were incapable of living. And the gift of God's Son in place of our sins took place at Calvary, where Jesus died. And the Father turned his back on him, and Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because all of our sins were on him, and God could not look favorably on him at the time. His wrath was poured out on the Son, and when Jesus said, it is finished, sins were done for those who believe, for those who confess and believe. Before that night, before the next day, I mean, but that night before he was crucified, Jesus gathered his disciples together, and he used the Passover meal to tell them and prepare their hearts for what was going to come. Not only them, but to remind us always why he had come and that he is going to come again. Our text this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be reading from verses 23 to 26. This is the Apostle Paul saying, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when we come to receive the elements, go back to your seats and then we'll all partake together. Before we begin our time receiving the elements, just want to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment. And if there's sin you need to confess to the Lord, confess it. He gladly receives your confession, and he forgives your sins. Prepare your hearts for the table. Pray in your hearts as I offer this prayer of confession from the Book of Common Prayer. This short prayer covers many of the themes from the last two Sundays that we spent in Revelation 4 and 5. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thought of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Grace Community Church, located in North Carolina. Feel free to make copies of this audio content to share with others. But please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Grace Community Church, go to graceccnc.org.